So if you remember, last time we began with our introduction of Perek Aleph that basically helped us understand the first seven psukim of Perek Aleph, wherein we find the goals of Sefer Mishlei, which are to address the students. And perhaps Shlomo was speaking to his own son, someone who's growing up within the king's court, and trying to teach him ethical behavior based on his cognitive level, but also stages of moral development. So now we're going to continue in Perek Aleph with the actual speech, wherein he seems to turn directly to his son, who is also his student. And this obviously can be any child growing up, so as machanchim, as educators, we can also incorporate this within our addressing to our students. Shema b'ni musar avicha v'yal titosh torat imecha, explaining to the child that the basis for Torah, the basis for adherence to anything, is rooted in parents. And we discussed how even in modern day times this is true, as the parents serving as the basic role models for a child. Notice how he incorporates both the musar of the father, because generally it is the father who's going to steer the child in the correct manner. We're going to see numerous references to the fact that it's the parent who punishes. We know the Chazal are very sensitive to this when they speak about the ideas of ishimo vaviv tira'u, right, ve'et shabtotai tishmaru, that isha imo va'aviv. So Chazal explained, generally a child will fear the father more than the mother, so it's important to also fear the mother. Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, whereas honor may be something that you feel towards the mother, know that includes the father. Definitely that yira'ah aspect of the father figure being more of the punitive figure in a person's life, here we see it as well. It's the father who gives the musar, and the mother who's going to offer a sense of direction. We're going to see something very interesting within Mishlei itself, just as we discussed that a mashal is going to be culled from surroundings and from culture. We're going to see that one of the most dominant mishalim in all the writings of Shlomo, but particularly in Mishlei, is going to be the woman. As a matter of fact, we hear the musar and the Torah of the mother that starts Sefer Mishlei, and you're all familiar with the very last parak of Mishlei, which is Eshet Chayil Miyimsam. We're going to speak about how that in itself is really a mashal. So we begin with the Torah of the mother. We're going to see that we end that way as well. Ki liviat chen hem l'roshecha v'anakim l'gargarotecha. And now he's going to speak about the advantages of why one should listen to a parent. Because these instructions are ornaments, right? They are chains. They are basically jewels for a child. And this seems to be an incentive. You sit a child down and you say, I'm about to teach you and how to be educated in a moral behavior, but I want you to know that it's for your benefit. And we're going to see exactly what the two main points that are supposed to encourage the child to continue learning in regard to this ethical behavior, what they are. So he begins with, Bni, im yifatucha chataim al tovei, that if sinners entice you, then do not consent to them. Do not follow them, because he knows that the child is going to be very vulnerable, and therefore this is his way of saying almost don't talk to strangers. You never know, right? In other words, look at me or look at your parents as your models for behavior, and don't be enticed, don't be influenced by others, because you never know, right, the sins that they may influence you with. And this is what always reminds me of Pinocchio. Do you remember that first scene wherein Geppetto was telling him, let your conscience be your guide. Do you remember this? Okay. And Pinocchio then, he goes off and immediately he's going to be enticed by these puppeteers. But let's continue with Pasuk Yud Aleph. Im yomru l'cha itanu, so that if they tell you, come with us, l'cha itanu ne'erva l'dam. And this may seem very, a very clear and a very barbaric way of proposing something to someone, but they say, come with us. And let us together start plotting against someone. Ne'erva l'dam, and Chazal, as you can imagine, explain that. We're not just talking about people who are enticing others to go out and kill. Come, you know, let's plan a murder. But ne'erva l'dam can be any type of avira ben adam l'chaviro, nitpinat l'naki chinam. And what are they going to encourage you with? They're going to say, not to worry, we're going to plan this privately, right, safuna nitpna lenaki chinam, right, and we're going to basically do this in private, and we're going to kill innocent blood for no reason whatsoever, meaning there are going to be those who, for their basic pastime, are going to be involved in crimes. Nivla'im kishol chayim utmimim kiyordei var. And obviously the parent is trying to show how barbaric this is, but at the same time, he's also warning the child, they're going to try to make this as exciting as possible. They're going to say, let's go swallow a person up alive, again, lead him to the grave, let them go down to the pit. And what's the advantage? Let's kill the person and take all of the shalal, take all of the spoils. We're going to fill our houses with spoil. Now, obviously, you don't have to understand this on the most basic level of don't be enticed to murder someone and then take their possessions. It can be anyone who entices you, let's do this, let's speak Lashon Hara about them, and we'll be voted in as class president, right? Or whatever other plans they're going to try to encourage you to do, because they're going to see some type of reward, of a short-term reward that lay in waiting. Pasuk Yudalit, Goralcha tapil b'tochenu. So they're telling you, and you should cast yourself with us. Kis echad yeh l'chulanu. Right, this way we'll all share in the kis. We'll all share in the rewards. So the father turns to the child and says, B'ni, al telech b'derech itam. When you hear words such as this, do not follow them. Minat raglacha minativatam. Not only that, he's saying, don't even literally hang out with them. Don't walk with them in their path. Right? This is what I meant by very black and white terminology. Stay away from anyone who speaks like this, from anyone who's going to plot in a negative way. Why? Pasuk tzayin ki raglehem lara yarutu v'yamaru lishbochtam. Because as soon as you're with them, even if you're telling yourself, no, I'll be fine, Gana, they're the cool crowd. No, because they quickly run to perform evil. And they want to shed blood as quickly as possible. And you're not even going to recognize how you may be led away, led astray with them. Kia chinam mizora harashet be'enei kol ba'alei kanaf. Because this is like a net that's spread for a bird. In other words, people don't just spread out a net without intending to catch it. So you yourself are part of the innocent victim going on over here. Don't think that you can be with them and not actually be entrapped by them. Behem lidamam ye'erovu, yitpinu l'nafshotam. And they wait for their blood, right? They lurk for their lives. Pein archot kol botzei abatza. He says there are certain people who act this way. They are the ones who are extremely greedy. Et nefesh ba'alav yikach. And they take away the lives of the owners. Right? These are some certain personalities I want you to stay away from in this world. Again, very black and white. They're evil. They're cruel. One can even say he describes it in an extreme fashion just to highlight how one should stay away from them. Chochmot b'chutz tarona b'rchovot titen kola. Instead, he says, wisdom should cry out. Remember, we already discussed that chokhmah in Sefer Mishlei can mean numerous things. Here he means not just intelligence. What wisdom should cry out? Morality should cry. And as she's the one who should give her voice in the streets. B'rosh homiyot tikra b'petchei sha'arim b'ir amara ha'tomer. And a wisdom cries, or morality cries, in the place where everyone is going to go, through the gates, through the cities. And what does she say? Ad matay ta'im te'ahavu peti v'leti malatzon chandu lahem uksilim yisnu'u dat. How long are the people who are simple going to love simplicity? And the scorners love scorning, right? Which they desire for themselves. And how long are the fools going to hate knowledge? In all these cases, obviously the tikbolot over here, the parallelisms that you see within the pasuk, and who are all these simple ones, the scorners, the fools? It doesn't mean that they lack intelligence. As a matter of fact, they're going to consistently be described as very, very cunning characters. Rather, they are foolish in the realm of
morality.
That's exactly it. So the parent mocks them and says, no, all these people who act this way, they're the foolish ones. Tashuvu letochachti hine abia lachem ruchi. Turn then. And turning even to some of these scorners of morality, saying, listen to my tochacha, and I will pour my ruach upon you. Odia dvaray etchem. Meaning, don't think that just because there are a lot of people like this, that that's the majority. No, morality, basically, he says, will always yell forth, and to a certain degree, will always reign. Pasuk chazaled, yan karati v'timainu, natiti yadi v'in makshiv. And just because people aren't listening to this, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. For example, Hannah, we speak about the time of the Shoah, and it seems if you listen to, you know, the both testimony of Heinrich Himmler, or you read some of the philosophical debates that took place and how some of the SS officers really felt that they were moral, right? That they redefined what morality was for themselves. And anyone who looks back at the Shoah and wonders, oh my, how could it be that so many people acted in such an immoral fashion? That doesn't mean that there wasn't morality. It doesn't mean that destroyed morality. And to a certain degree, all the stories of the righteous Gentiles basically proves it as such, right? That there is morality, and even when people aren't listening. And in Pasuk Hafei, it's just that though there are certain people who don't listen to this, and even when there is tochacha, when there is reproof, and therefore it's imperative for the parent to say, I am going to laugh when I see how you fall. Now this may seem like a very simple message for all of us. Hannah, what do we want to tell our children? It doesn't pay to cheat. It doesn't pay to do wrong. That in the end, it's the good guys that finish first. Even though, come on, deep down, what are we thinking? It's not always true, right? Sometimes it's the cheaters, you know, who get ahead. And sometimes it's those ganavim, you know, the people who steal, who seemingly are successful. But when you're speaking to a child, it's very clear that what message do you want to make clear to them? No, it's the moral people who will always finish first, because it's those evil ones who are going to fall by the end. Because you're going to fear. And this is an idea that is going to appear in Sefer Iyov as well, and that is that even if the people who are performing all of these iniquities feel that they're getting away with it, deep down, what do they constantly feel? Fear. Fear that they're going to get caught. Fear that they're going to be punished. So the fear itself is part of the midah keneged midah, or is part of the punishments, and even that isn't going to be worth it. Az yikra'unini v'lo ene, yishachrunini v'lo yimtu'unini. And then they're going to look for ethical behavior, for morality, but I'm not going to answer. Why? Tachat kisanu da'at v'yirat Hashem lo b'charu. So notice a very interesting idea that we already mentioned back in Pasuk Zayin, but we're going to see it here as well. Yirat Hashem reshita, that the basis is going to be fear of God. Now what's interesting is that in the other writings of Shlomo, particularly in Sefer Kohelet, even when he speaks about issues of theodicy, Avat Tzadik, what we call Tzadik Viralo, Rasha V'Tovlo, Yana, the problems of Torah Tagmul, of a person receiving what they want, he never mentions Yudkei Vavkei, because he speaks about the universal Elohim. Mishlei is a much more, what we'll find, religiously attuned Sefer. He does talk about Hashem, Yana, the personal God of Am Yisrael, and there is going to be punishment. So they didn't choose Yirat Hashem. So even though it's a parent who's speaking, the parent is already speaking in what we'll call even a religious terminology, namely that even the parent's sense of morality is based in the absolute morality of God. Pasuk Lamed, Lo Abu Latati, Na'atsu Kol Tochachti. They didn't want any of this godly / moral counsel. Again, they despaired of all of the reproof. So now, let them find out what will happen. Let them suffer the consequences of their own devices. And this is the best way of telling a child to stay away from any negative influence, recognizing that their end is horrible. Then those people who turn away, Nana shall slay them, and the fools ultimately are going to be destroyed. Vishomeali, but if you listen to me, i.e. your parent, your beacon of morality, Yishkan Betach, you will stay secure, Vishanan Mipachad Ra'ah. And you will not only dwell safely, but you're going to be quiet, and you won't have that fear that they have, that fear of being punished. So notice the terminology that we find even within Perek Aleph itself, before we even start Perek Bet, and that is that by the end we see that what is the primary incentive that a parent uses in order to encourage the child to be moral, to always hearken to at the proper path, and not be dissuaded or not be influenced by all the negative influences around him. What is the key word at the end? Betach, bitachon. And psychologists will tell you this as well, that what a child longs for more than anything else is a sense of security. So what is the parent telling the child? What is the greatest incentive for being a good moral person? Bitachon. You will be secure. Now again, deep down we know, does that always work? No. But when a child is young, do they understand that concept of security? That things will be okay, you won't have anything to fear. Yes, and this is a very important, and I think not only important for us to understand based on the context itself, but based on the context of the child's life, this is a phenomenal incentive.